Perhaps you've heard of Pooch Planet or Smarty Cat or maybe even Petlinks brand. These are brands of sustainable pet products which are found and sold in 30,000 stores across the United States. My guest today on the Good Dog Podcast is Aaron Lamstein. He's the CEO and president of Worldwise. Tell me about Worldwise, Aaron.
Well, Worldwise is a consumer products company that's focused on healthy, more environmentally sustainable pet products. So literally everything we do is made from either recycled or reclaimed or certified organic raw materials. And we sell them through, as you mentioned, about 30,000 retail stores across the country.
Now, you didn't jump on this green bandwagon in the last year or so. You've been at this for a while.
We were, some people tell me we were a little ahead of our time. We I co-founded the company 17 years ago in 1990. And at the time, it, of course, wasn't such a hot political or social issue as it is today. But fortunately, consumers have been are being educated. Kids are being educated. And every day, you know, you read about it in the newspaper, people becoming more and more aware about how important it is to choose a, you know, healthier, more sustainable product.
So has it been easier for you to sell your product into, for instance, the big, large stores because interest is really there for these sorts of products?
Well, it definitely is getting easier. You know, we're because we've been doing it for so long, you know, we have been selling a number of larger retailers for many, many years. I mean, you know, we launched our products in the mid-90s in retailers like Walmart and Target and others. So we've been doing it for a while, but the last couple of years, the increased media attention has certainly made it easier for the retail buyers to know and trust and understand. That
easier for your marketing department, I would think.
It's a little easier for everybody.
Well, and it used to be that if things were made from recycled materials, it was kind of in parentheses off to the side. It wasn't like the number one selling factor. Mm-hmm. Where now, if you're going to go buy a particular product and you take a look at two products, which are otherwise perhaps equal, I'm sure you'll tell me yours is better, not equal, but even for the moment, equal. Mm-hmm. And they're priced comparably, but one is made from recycled materials. Why wouldn't you go and buy that one?
Well, for sure. And in fact, our philosophy behind our products really are that the product has to look as good or better because the consumer has to find it aesthetically attractive enough to purchase. It's got to work as well or better. Okay. It's got to cost the same or less. And it has to have the healthier, more environmentally sustainable story to it. So we are a little different, though, than many in that we don't think, frankly, people should buy a product just because it's recycled. The number one reason you buy a product is to solve a problem. It might be, in this case, to make your pet, so your pet can have fun, or so you can have a better relationship with your pet, or so that your pet can sleep or rest comfortably.
Or you can feel less guilty or something, I think.
For some folks, they do that. But hopefully you're improving the quality of the life, right, of the pet and in your interaction with the pet. But we believe that the number one thing is the product has to solve a problem. It has to really work well. And in our case, you know, a core part of our whole business strategy is the product has to be a more environmentally sustainable alternative. But we wouldn't encourage people just to buy stuff because it's recycled, because even when you make a product out of recycled material, you still have to ship it. You have to manufacture it. That uses energy. And energy, of course, causes pollution. So we think it's pretty important that people are buying products that they really need and can use and that do the job and that, in fact, are more environmentally sustainable.
So need is a relative term when it comes to pet products, right? Do pets really need beds?
Well, that's a great question. You know, certainly 50 years ago, folks thought that, you know, the dog, your dog or your cat slept outside, you know, but didn't even really spend time in the house. Nothing like it is today. So I think it's a fair point. Need is a relative term, and, you know, different people have a different vision of what their pet really has to have. You know, I would say that there are a number, and you can ask, and no doubt you speak to vets, will tell you there are a number of needs that pets do have. You know, the need to chew, for example, for a dog, right? I mean, or the need for physical activity and, in fact, for comfortable rest. So could a dog sleep comfortably? Well, some people, certainly they sleep on some people's beds, but many people find that a little bit annoying and frustrating, right? Or on their couch. Where
there was a study recently that an incredible percentage of people not only allow their dogs to sleep on the bed, but in the bed, like under the covers.
I would love to see that study. I don't know that. I'll tell you that about... I think
for a small fee, I might be able to procure that
well,
for
you. I'm willing to talk to you about that. I think that if you look at the APPMA statistics, which is the American Pet Products Manufacturers Association, I think the number they say that buy dog beds, in rough numbers, is about half of consumers buy a dog
Which isn't
bed.
To say that the dog actually sleeps on the bed, right?
I don't think that they're actually studying that.
Lulu has a little bed. Lulu's my dog.
Yeah.
And she sleeps in it when we put her in her pen with access to her doggy door so she can go in and out. But then when she's in the house, any couch, any chair, bed, any of that's preferable,
you know,
I think.
That might be a training issue.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I need to go back. I need to go back to school.
Or maybe the bed. I'm just kidding. Or maybe the bed's not comfortable enough. I mean, these are the issues.
She is a princess.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me what's comfortable about your beds.
Well, we do beds out of several different types of materials. And our beds, as I mentioned, you know, an important part of our concept is the product. It needs to be functional and exceptionally healthy for the pet and for the person. But also, we want them to look good. So our beds are pretty stylish. You know, there used to be days, 5-10 years ago, you'd buy a pet bed and if you had friends coming over, you'd want to hide the bed behind... You know, behind the couch, but beds now and our beds and many other companies,
little canopy beds, ruffles,
all sorts of different things to just look a lot more stylish and to fit in, to look more like a piece of, you know, attractive, home furnishing, you know, versus something that you sort of be embarrassed about. So our beds start with, you know, aesthetically, they look, we think, very nice. And then the inside, we use principally two different materials. We do one material that's called Eco Rest, and that is actually made from recycled soda bottles, and it's literally respun.
So not only are you not using new materials, you're actually repurposing materials that would otherwise be filling up the landfills.
Literally water bottles that you know how many are used, billions and billions.
Horrendous.
Of water, yeah, are used. And so this is a great use for that. So we do one type of line of beds where we have this Eco Rest fill. It's exceptionally comfortable for the dog. It has a great deal of loft, so it's very fluffy, and a great deal of memory. So in other words, after the dog gets off of it, it pops back up, which makes it a...
Kind of a Tempur-Pedic approach?
Well, actually, sort of, although we have a second line of beds, and we actually make them out of reclaimed memory foam, and they actually are memory foam beds. So it's very similar to what you'd see on those commercials when, you know, they put the hand on it or they're jumping on one corner of the bed and the wine isn't moving. And it's actually made from a 100% reclaimed memory foam.
These are for arthritic dogs? Or?
Well, actually, you know, really anybody that wants just a sort of a high-performance pet bed buys them. I mean, I would say that probably more people that have a little older dogs, maybe a little larger dogs that are a little heavier, may choose this bed. But we're finding people literally of, you know, all ages are buying, they're buying for pets of all ages.
So it's actually, you said, ground up and reconstituted soda bottles. How does that work?
Well, you know, soda bottles are collected in recycling programs around the country. They get collected with other types of plastic. The plastic gets sorted typically at a recycling center. This type of plastic all goes to a single facility, gets chopped up into pieces, basically gets effectively melted into a bead-like form that then gets spun into fiber. And you're seeing it a lot now. I mean, you'll see it in clothing made out of recycled materials like this type of fiber. It's very common in bedding-type applications, and we do all of our entire line of EcoRest beds are all filled with this recycled material. And it ends up adding up, which is sort of the interesting thing. You know, we're a small company, but the beds that we sell alone keep just over 40 million bottles out of the landfill. 1 liter soda bottles.
It's a heck of a contribution.
Hey, every little bit helps.
There's no question about it. You know, I was thinking on my way here that in general, dogs have a pretty small carbon footprint, don't they? I mean, they don't drink from bottles that then have to be thrown away. We all fill up their little water bottles again and again and again, right? So we're not opening up new ones for them.
Yep.
Same with their food. It's just in one ceramic or plastic bowl. We just, you know, very little packaging. You buy the big, huge containers of food. They go for a walk. No problem there. You know, they're pretty good little citizens.
I think that's actually an excellent point. And I had not thought about the carbon footprint of your dog, but I would suspect...
Paw print, right?
Paw print. Well, I stand corrected. Paw print. I think that I suspect that it's very, very low because, unfortunately, some of the biggest contributors to a person's carbon footprint are often about transportation, either in cars or on airplanes.
Dogs don't use toilet paper.
Another
savings.
They
don't wipe their paws. No napkins.
Yeah.
No paper towels.
I think this is something we need to look into.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they have the answers. Tell me about Pet Links. What is that? It's a whole concept, right?
Yeah. We developed a whole merchandising system and brand around this term Pet Links. And it's a proprietary system where we educate the pet owner about the various needs of their dog. And then on the products that we sell, really clearly define what that need is so that the consumer understands what problem they're helping solve, so to speak, for their pet.
All right. So let's jump back. You mentioned before they have a need for exercise. They have a need to eat. They have a need to chew.
Indeed they do.
And that continues past puppyhood.
Absolutely. Now, some dogs, of course, are a little better trained than others, and I think don't exhibit problems around chewing. You know, they don't necessarily go and grab the shoes, you know, an older dog.
Unless they're trying to make a point.
Which sometimes they are. But there are, you know, dogs need, there are, dogs need and enjoy many things, companionship, exercise. Certainly they have the need to chew. In fact, if we want to grab right here, this on the back shows the various needs for a dog. We also have one for a cat. I know that's, I shouldn't have said that word on
this
show.
It's kind of it's the C word.
Sorry about that.
We're looking at essentially a pie chart here with some very slim pieces of pie. We've got like, 12 different pieces of the pie.
Absolutely. So we talk about these are some of the different needs that a dog has, right? Need for interaction, training, prey play, chewing, safety, rest, health, hygiene, exercise.
You said prey play. I'm thinking, why do they have to pray?
P-R-E-Y. Yes, yes. They don't need to be a religious dog.
No, they absolutely have to chase a cat, right?
Well, some dogs. Some dogs do. And one of the things that
a
you
squirrel.
Can do. Right, and that's why you'll see a lot of toys, and we make toys that actually have a prey play quality to them, so that that need that they have to go out, that they might have for chasing a squirrel or a cat, can be met instead with a toy.
Not really.
Maybe not Lulu.
Maybe not Lulu. You can't fool Lulu.
We gotta
fake
get,
squirrel?
I think we got to get you some toys.
Okay. All right.
So that gives you a sense of what the various needs that we identify are. And they are different for different types of pets.
So is the goal that people will literally sit with this pie chart and say, okay, I've taken care of interaction and treats and training, but, you know, we're a little weak in the prey play department?
Well, to be clear, different dogs, you know, may have different amounts of interest in any one of these categories. So some dogs may be very interested, of course, in prey play related activity. Others may really enjoy interaction with. So it really varies. This pie chart that you're looking at here is actually our complete need system. Just to add a drop of confusion to the interview.
Please.
And, well, it's the least I could do. So this is our complete need system, and we do this on one set of brands, on our Pooch Planet brand. So this is what you would see in, if you look in sort of the mass retail environment. The PetLinx brand, you will only see in the pet specialty area.
Now, is this for the consumer or is this for the retailer? Whom does this system serve?
Well, the number one is for the consumer. And so the consumer can be educated and better understand what are the needs of the typical pet. It really helps educate the consumer. There is a side benefit for the retailer because it enables them to merchandise items in a more clear and concise way for the consumer, so that it's less confusing. And I think,
does it help people stick with your brand?
Well, interestingly enough, there's many items that we identify we don't even sell
yet.
Well, you know, I certainly hope someday we will, but you know, there are many things on here that literally we don't sell. We're educating the consumer not just to buy our brand. We certainly hope that if they share our values and like our products, of course they'll purchase the items. But really, it's about educating the consumer and making sure they understand what are the needs. And like I said, you know, 50 years ago, the perceived needs of a pet were much different than they are today. People are treating pets today like they're members of their family. That wasn't the way it was.
Well, that's what we had that expression of work like a dog. Clearly, they weren't talking about our dogs, right?
Clearly.
Some other set. So are there other companies that are using recycled materials to make products for pets?
Well, first of all, I think that it's important when you're thinking about sustainability and products to be cognizant that many folks will utilize, for example, a recycled paper in their packaging, which we encourage. I mean, we think personally, frankly, the more folks that use recycled product, the better, right? The more it educates consumers that they can get a high quality product that doesn't have any performance issues. Oftentimes there can even be cost savings with some types of recycled material. So the consumer actually could pay less instead of paying more, which is a nice thing, obviously. So I think there are many pet companies that utilize recycled paperboard, for example, in their packaging, or in some cases some recycled plastic. And there are some companies doing some pretty cool things in organics and the other areas, but we haven't seen anybody in the accessory business, which is really principally where we focus, that has their business built around it. But we are hoping that by being successful and by showing that the products sell well, that there'll be other companies will be encouraged to actually do that.
Competition is a good thing, but you were first, and you really have built your company around this, which is very different.
Well, I don't know anybody that did it before us. There may have been. I can tell you that we hope that everybody in the industry changes and moves in this direction, because if not, we've got a much bigger problem as a society.
You think the pet products industry will peak, or are we still just on the upswing in terms of the amount of interest and, you know, really the amount of activity that, you know, people, the amount of money people are spending?
Yeah, I don't know when it will peak, but I can tell you that, you know, it's the number two fastest growing segment in the consumer products realm behind electronics. And most people that I know in the industry think that if there is going to be a peak, it's a long way off.
Aaron, this has been fascinating. And why don't you name some of the stores where people can find your products and also your web address?
Sure. Well, our web address first, and we do have a store locator there, so that's the best place to actually go. Our website is www.worldwise.com, and that's worldwise.com. And you can find our stores at, you know, our products at most major stores. Certainly two of the larger ones are Walmart stores and Target.
Well, congratulations on your success, and we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Thanks so much.
As always, thanks for listening to Good Dog, and a big thank you to everyone who has sent emails or posted a review on iTunes. It is good to know that you're having fun with the podcasts. Coming up next on the Good Dog Podcast, flexible pet ownership. Can't handle a dog full time? Now there's Flex Pets. Till then, keep in touch by sending an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.